You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Barrett. Regular screening for colon cancer begins at age 45, but it's growing as a concern at younger ages. Over the last two decades, young people have been seeing higher rates of colorectal cancer. For people under the age of 50, it's now a top cause of cancer-related deaths, number one for men, second place for women. A Wisconsin colorectal cancer specialist is here with us to talk about possible causes behind that, how to know if you might be at risk, and what's out there for diagnosis and treatment. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you have a family history of colorectal cancer? Did you have to get screened early at some point? Has this affected your life or someone in your family? If you're a healthcare provider, are you seeing this colorectal cancer happening more often with younger patients? Join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. Dr. Noel Lacanti is a UW Health Medical Oncologist and Associate Professor in the Division of Hematology, Medical Oncology, and Palliative Care in the Department of Medicine at the UW School of Medicine and Public Health. Dr. Lacanti, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thanks for having me. Happy to be here.
First of all, can you tell us some of the basics of what colorectal cancer is?
Yeah, sure. The colon and the rectum is also known as the large intestine. Obviously, everybody has one, so we're all at risk for this type of cancer. It has been going down in totality because of screening. There are many different ways to screen. We can get into that later, but we've been seeing this fairly dramatic rise in early onset colorectal cancer over the last 20 years. So that would be people under the age of 50.
And as I read up on this, I might think, okay, well, maybe we're seeing a rise in this because we're looking for it more, getting better at diagnosing it. And the consensus seems to be no, it legitimately seems to be happening more. Is that right?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely not. It's generally being seen in people that aren't being screened at all or aren't eligible for screening.
And is this the case where before this rise, you know, this would be pretty a low priority? If somebody presented with symptoms, it would still seem pretty unlikely that that younger person would have some kind of colorectal cancer?
Can you repeat the question? Yeah. So someone has symptoms, are they...
Like back in the day, this is something that I think providers would not even look for in young people, right?
Yeah, right. And it's still... you know, there are other things that might cause these symptoms too, but we just don't want people to forget about colon cancer. You can see it in very young people. We're even seeing it in teens now. So we need to keep it on our list.
And one of the big open question is what would be causing this? And I don't think we have a solid answer, but what are some of the notions as to why younger people are presenting with colorectal cancer more often?
Yeah, so we know it's not genetics. We know that pretty confidently. It's not like there's an increased rate of Lynch syndrome or other hereditary colorectal cancer syndromes. We think it's an environmental exposure. So many cancers are related to environmental exposures. Colorectal cancer, you know, is no different. But there's not a clear consensus like there is with smoking that there's one overwhelming exposure. So it may be things like... processed foods, particularly what we call ultra processed foods, so shelf stable foods, red meats, alcohol consumption, exercise, perhaps being above recommended body, you know, weight for your height. So there's a whole bunch of theories out there. I don't think we know exactly for sure. We just know it's continuing to rise.
Talking to Dr. Noel Lacanti, a medical oncologist at UW Health, looking at colorectal cancer. Overall numbers, good news going down. Bad news, younger people showing up with it more and more often. You could join in with your questions, maybe your own experiences at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Dr. Lacanti, you mentioned symptoms. What kind of symptoms would people have that might make you think, okay, hey, maybe this is some kind of colorectal cancer?
Yeah, bleeding. So blood in the stool or even blood without a bowel movement, particularly bleeding that is persistent. Abdominal pain or unexplained weight loss. So you're not trying to lose weight. You're not, you didn't change your diet or exercise, but weight is coming off.
And then if someone has some of those symptoms, what are the diagnosis methods?
Yeah, I think what we see most often, especially in these young people, is that they have these prolonged periods of working up these symptoms where people are told, oh, it's hemorrhoids. Oh, you have an anal fissure. It's irritable bowel disease. And we see these patients presenting over and over again for attention. And as with most cancers in colon and rectal cancer, the sooner we can diagnose it, the better the outcomes. So it's hard to, you know, on the end result, when they finally have cancer, realize like, oh, they've actually been presenting for care for sometimes a year or longer. So we really want people to go see their primary care doctor or a trusted healthcare provider to get those symptoms worked up. Under no circumstances should bleeding be assumed to be hemorrhoids, even in a young person. It really requires some further evaluation. But likewise for those other symptoms like abdominal pain or unexplained weight loss, the right test is colonoscopy for colon cancer.
And talk a little bit about the procedure of colonoscopy. It's something that I think people dread some. I've done it myself. The prep is not one of the more charming experiences we'll ever experience, but it's worth it. Talk us through that diagnostic.
Yeah. So the diagnostic colonoscopy, so if you're having symptoms, we have to clean out your bowel, which is called a bowel prep. Not very fun, but a necessary evil. So you take medication, usually liquid form, sometimes some pills and liquids, to force your bowels basically to completely evacuate. So there's a lot of diarrhea leading up to the procedure. Then when you go in for the procedure, it's done by general surgery, usually your gastroenterology. You're sedated most of the time, laid on your side, a camera's put into the rectum and then snaked all the way to the beginning of the colon and then slowly removed. The whole procedure takes, you know, 15 minutes. It's actually not that much time. Most of the time is spent getting you sedated and put in the right position. And then you go home. It takes a little bit of time to sleep off that sedation for some people, but then by the next day you should be back to normal.
And reports are that I was very entertaining when I came out of procedure.
I
don't remember a thing about that, though.
That's great.
We got a call from Angie in Madison who couldn't stay on the line. She says, first of all, Dr. Locanti was my mom's oncologist, and she saved her life. Also, a question, is there a correlation, Angie asked, between any other digestive conditions like diverticulitis and colon cancers?
Yeah, great question. So irritable bowel and chronic constipation do not seem to increase your risk. There are certain GI conditions that absolutely do, ulcerative colitis being kind of top of the list. Ulcerative colitis is an inflammatory bowel disease, so chronic inflammation in the colon. Diverticulitis generally would not increase your risk dramatically. And then certain conditions that suppress your own immune system. So if you're on chronic immunosuppression for whatever reason, increases your rate of all cancers, not just colon cancer.
Let's bring on a caller now at 800-642-1234. Joe is with us in Oshkosh. Joe, hello.
Hi there. So I'm calling because I went to the eye doctor a while ago, and they found a cluster of freckles on my eyes and actually told me that it's an indicator for something called Gardner syndrome, which increases your rate of colon cancer. I'm 26, so this program right now, I have questions about it. How concerned should I be about Gardner syndrome, and is there a non-invasive way to screen for it, or is colonoscopy the best way?
Joe, thanks for the call. First of all, this Gardner's syndrome, is that something, Dr. Locanti, that is correlated with colorectal cancer?
Yeah, it sure is. Gardner's syndrome is a syndrome where patients can get lots of polyps in their colon. We haven't really talked about this, but colon cancer arises first as a polyp, and then that turns into a larger polyp that then turns into an invasive carcinoma. So yes, patients with Gardner's syndrome are at very high risk of colon cancer. The second question, and, you know, Joe, I'm not your doctor, so of course you should absolutely run this by your actual doctors, but, there is a blood test to confirm Gardner syndrome. If you have it, we generally do recommend a more intensive screening program for a variety of cancers, not just colon cancer. There are non-invasive ways to screen for colon cancer if you're at average risk. I would not put somebody with a hereditary syndrome though in that average risk bucket. So I think colonoscopy is going to be the best bet here. Or if someone has, you know, Lynch syndrome being the most common type of hereditary colon cancer syndrome, but there's a number of them. But I think that's an important caveat with, you know, at-home screening. I think all of us in Wisconsin have seen like Cologuard ads on the TV. That's a Wisconsin company. That's really meant for average-risk patients.
Joe, thanks a lot for the call. You mentioned a Lynch syndrome, this Gardner syndrome. Are there other things in somebody's life that might say, hey, even if you don't have symptoms, maybe you should look at getting this checked out, a family history or other conditions?
Yeah, so family history in a first-degree relative, so that would be sibling, parent, or child, does increase your rate of colon cancer, but also a family history of not just cancer but polyps, particularly the precancerous type of polyps. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't routinely talk to my parents about their colonoscopy results, but maybe we should, you know. There's also this concept in colorectal cancer screening, especially where people are kind of embarrassed or ashamed to talk about their testing, their diagnosis, and that can really hurt younger generations, because if you don't know about a family history, you can't advocate or qualify for earlier screening. But to answer your question more directly, yes, a first-degree relative with either colon cancer or what are called adenomatous polyps would increase your risk, and you could get screened earlier.
Thanks again for that call. We're talking to Dr. Noelle Loconte, medical oncologist at UW Health. We're talking about the recent rise in rates of colorectal cancer in younger people, how to know if you're at risk, looking at some of the risks, the symptoms, the treatments, the diagnosis. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Are we talking about you? Have you or a loved one had a colorectal cancer diagnosis? Do you wish you'd been screened earlier? Do you have questions for our guest? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. We'll pick up the conversation coming up here on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Barrett. We continue our conversation with Dr. Noelle Loconte, medical oncologist at UW Health, associate professor in the Division of Hematology, Medical Oncology, and Palliative Care at the UW School of Medicine and Public Health. We're talking to her about the recent rise in rates of colorectal cancer in younger people, even as it goes down among older people, in part because of early detection of polyps. Looking at some of the possible causes, what to watch for, when to seek treatment, you could join in at 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. Back to your calls now. Brandon is with us in Green Bay. Brandon, hi. You're on the air, Brandon. Go ahead.
Thanks, Rob. I'm in a bad spot for my cell phone. I've read that toilet paper and different bathroom products can are made with PFAS. It's a, you know, detectable levels. And I'm wondering if there's any correlation between younger people who may their entire life using a bathroom product like that versus maybe older people who've had more of a natural tissue-based bathroom product.
Brandon, thanks for the call. Now, something like PFAS chemicals in products, Brandon mentioned, also in drinking water in many communities. Dr. Loconte, what would it take to establish if there were a connection between that class of chemicals and colorectal cancer? I don't think we're there at this point,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, we're not there yet. PFAS is really thought to be an endocrine disruptor, and colorectal cancer is not really a hormone-sensitive type of cancer like breast or testicular cancer. But how do we prove a carcinogen? It's quite challenging, actually, for a couple of reasons. Most carcinogens are not that strong of an effect, so you have to have a big exposure over a long amount of time. You know, the one exception here would be smoking and tobacco, which strongly is correlated with a number of cancers. But most environmental exposures only slightly increase your risk, and most of us are not exposed to these things very frequently. So there's a whole scientific study devoted to trying to figure out exactly how much these increase your risk. People also move around. We can't do randomized trials where we expose half the people to PFAS, half not to. So we do like retrospective reviews where we ask people, well, where did you live growing up and how much did you drink your water and these kind of things. And then we try to triangulate around it, but it's actually quite difficult. You know, there's a few example of these so-called cancer clusters across the U.S., but they're very, very hard. The bar is quite high to prove that.
Brandon, thanks a lot for the question. We'll go down to Joe in Loganville. Joe, hello.
Hello. I just, for one, I'm a 12-year colon cancer survivor, thanks to Dr. LaConte. She was my oncologist at the time.
Oh, my gosh. All my patients are calling in. It's great.
Yeah.
And did you want to tell us a little bit about your... Yeah, go ahead, Joe. Yeah.
We did find Lynch syndrome in my genes, so I do, you know, I'm a higher risk person, from what I understand, for colon cancer. I don't know what else to say right at the moment. Just big shout out to Dr. LaConte. Yeah.
Well, and Joe, I wanted to ask, I mean, you're sharing your story some. Are you hoping that more people share their stories, get the word out to maybe catch things hopefully earlier than you caught your own colorectal cancer?
Definitely, definitely. I'm not bashful to talk to people about colonoscopies and tell them my results and tell them they need to get in to get checked. Early 60s and anybody in my age bracket and younger, I'm a big promoter of getting colon. It's, you know, people worry about the prep and all that. And I've had so many, I lost count. And it's not as bad as everybody makes it sound. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, just have some books standing by, Joe. Thanks a lot for the call. I appreciate it. It does seem, Dr. LaConte, like we're more willing to talk about colonoscopies. You know, we've had high-profile media personalities do them on TV. Yeah. I'd be a little reluctant. I don't know what I'd say on TV. But it does seem like people like Joe and others are willing to serve as ambassadors to get the word out.
Yeah, there's still populations where it's not socially acceptable to talk about it. So you're right. I mean, I think also people like Chadwick Boseman really helped us open up lines of communication. But we all have colons, right? We all are at risk, so we all should be talking about it.
Thanks again for calling in, Joe, and sharing your story. We're talking to Dr. Noel LaConte, UW Health medical oncologist. We're looking at colorectal cancer in part because of numbers over the last 20 years now showing it increasing among younger people than you would usually expect. People under the age of 50, you can join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Back to your calls. Dot is with us in Chippewa Falls. Dot, hello.
Hi, I have a question. For a couple days, I was passing blood, a lot of blood, so I had a colonoscopy and was diagnosed with colitis. And I was wondering if you had information on a remedy or something to take to prevent any more problems.
Dot, thanks a lot for the call. And, of course, you can't really treat people over the phone, Dr. LaConte, but are there common treatments for colitis, and do we worry about colitis and any connection to colon cancer?
Yeah, colitis can be a shortened name for ulcerative colitis, which is that high-risk condition. So, for sure, Dot, you should be seeing primary care and probably gastroenterology to help set forth your treatment plan. There are multiple treatments for it. Most require something prescribed by a physician. So I would not recommend the natural route here, but yes, you need ongoing care and follow up.
Dot, thanks for the call. Jim is with us now in Mount Hope. Jim, hi. Jim, are you there?
Hello.
Yep, you're on the air,
yeah.
Jim. Go ahead.
Well, as I said, I just had a colonoscopy not too long ago. Had 9 polyps they removed. They said, I'll see you in 2 years. Went back to a different doctor because insurance changed. They found 3. And then they told me 5 years. So I'm just wondering, is that kosher? Or...
Jim, thanks a lot for the call. Yeah, Dr. LaConte, when somebody has had polyps, what are some of the guidelines as to how frequently thereafter they have that next colonoscopy?
Yeah, it depends. Devil's in the details, right? So it depends on the type of polyp. So hyperplastic polyps are sort of, they're not precancerous. They're just little folds or wrinkles in the lining of the bowel. Those don't increase your risk at all. And if that's all you have, you just need your colonoscopy every 5 years. If you have what are called adenomatous polyps, there's 3 flavors of those, but they all end in the word adenoma. Those are the kind that can turn into cancer. And so it depends on where they were found, the number, were they flat, were they on a little stalk? So it's quite complicated, but could be as frequently as every year until we clear out all the polyps, could be as infrequently as every 3 years. So, and then we have to factor in things like how healthy is the patient otherwise, how many times have they had these procedures, how was their prep? So there's a lot that goes into that. It's really driven by the doctor that did the colonoscopy.
Thanks for that call, Jim. In just our last minute or so, Dr. Locanti, we don't know exactly what's causing colorectal cancer, but what kind of lifestyle things can we do to at least nudge our risk down a little bit?
Yeah, great question. Regular exercise, trying to be fruit and veggie forward in our diet. So shooting for 6 to 8 servings daily, which is harder than you think. Limiting red meat, limiting heavily processed foods. So we say shop the edges of the grocery store. So that would be, you know, produce, deli, freezer, but not in those areas of the grocery store where things are shelf stable, where they can stay on the shelf for years and years and years. That usually means there's tons of preservatives in there. I think patients can get screened and should get screened starting at the age of 45, maybe earlier if you have a family history. And then if you have symptoms, getting checked out rapidly.
And very briefly for healthcare providers, do they need to be more on the lookout in younger people for colorectal cancer?
For sure. Yes. We see this where patients get ignored for extended periods of time. So yes, we want primary care, urgent care, emergency room. When a patient, young patient presents with bleeding, we want colon and rectal cancer to be on that list right away.
Dr. Locanti, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thanks. Appreciate it.
That's Dr. Noelle Locanti, UW Health Medical Oncologist and Associate Professor in the Division of Hematology, Medical Oncology, and Palliative Care at the UW School of Medicine and Public Health. We talked to her about what's behind the rise of colorectal cancer in younger people over the last couple decades, and how to know if you are at risk.